If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to notice 2 Chronicles 17. Now, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to go through some Bible doctrines, eschatology, pneumatology. I'm going to go through some pretty deep stuff, but we're going to make it where you can ask questions. We're going to try to make it where we can enjoy ourselves. But first, I'm going to go through this first quarter. I'm going to go through examples for all of us. And I'm going to pick something out of each example that we can learn from. Now, can you name for me one person or two people that it's really hard to find out something we could learn negative from? Can you name for me two people that we'd have a hard time learning something negative from? Anybody? Daniel. Nothing negative about him. Somebody else? Joseph. Not much negative about him. So it'd be pretty hard for us to find something from those. But everybody else will see all their good things. And what I encourage you to do is this. Look, as we get older, what is most of the time an older person like? What's that? What?
Cantankerous.
That's exactly right. You know why? I'm old. Nobody can tell me what to do. I can do what I want to do. And so I don't have to be nice. Now, we all know that's not right. But let me explain this to you. If we're not careful, the older we get, the more we can say, well, look, I don't have to do that because I'm retired. I don't have to do that because I don't have to give an account to anybody. Listen to this. We all give an account to the King of Kings. And what I want to encourage you to this, I want to encourage you to take your life and how many have ever seen a rough diamond when it comes out of the ground? Anybody ever seen one of those? It looks terrible. It looks like one of those rocks that somebody, a child has. They got a rock collection and they got one of those things there. And it's rough and it doesn't look nice. It's not polished. I want us as this class, a pastor's class, I want it to be where we are still polishing and cutting and trimming, but Lord willing, we have a lot less than a 22-year-old to cut and trim, in theory, okay? How long have you been a Christian? How many of you have been Christians in this room longer than 30 years? Would you raise your hand? Let's see it up. How about longer than 20 years? Raise your hand. Okay, that's most of us. Okay, so we've had a long time to trim and to polish. Now, some of it is maturity. As we get older, we get more mature. We don't do things that we used to do. Okay? Name for me a couple things that as you've gotten older, you don't do that you used to do or that you've seen other people do. All right, that will make it where you don't have to confess. But you've seen other people do things, and those are things that you've tried to make sure you've let those go and we've tried to trim those off in your life. Name some things that younger people do that older people typically do not do, just maturity-wise, as you mature. Can anybody tell me one?
Rush into decisions.
We usually take a little bit longer to make a decision because we got some battle scars, some bad decisions. Okay, something else. We usually pay our bills better. We usually have good credit because we've learned the importance of that. We try to take a little bit better care of our bodies because as we get a little older, we've noticed things don't work quite the same. I was coming in this morning and I was telling Janet, I said, you're going to have to help me. I got to do X, Y, and Z because my left arm, now when I had that disc surgery, the drunk driver hit me in the back, my left arm's been a little bit weaker than my right one since that time. So I've always had to exercise it a little bit more. But I don't know the last 3 weeks, I don't know what it is, but when I reach over to pick up a cup of coffee or a cup of hot chocolate or even I got a 32-ounce glass, one of those mugs that you travel with. I picked that up and it's like, oh, that hurt. And it's right in here. I don't know what it is. But I said, that's weird. Why is that hurting? Well, as you get older, a lot of weird things happen. How many of you noticed that? You know, why does that hurt? I don't know. Oh, how's that? Oh, what is that? You begin to see those things. Well, all I'm trying to say to you is that as we get older, we do notice things that are not the same, and that's the result of sin. So as mature Christians, as people that are supposed to be mature Christians, we want to say, Lord, help me to polish off some things in my life. So I want you to notice today, we're going to look at Jehoshaphat. And we're going to do this in the next 8 or 10 weeks, 13. We're going to try to come up with a quarter, finish the quarter with this. And then we're going to go to some Bible doctrines and various things about Bible doctrines, various things about the Holy Spirit. We're going to take those kind of things and study them out. We'll go through scripture. I'm going to give you clear principles and teachings so that way you'll know it. Now, having said that, everybody's in the room. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. Please don't take it that way. But because our class is a little smaller in the future, if you could, if you feel uncomfortable, there are some people in our church that feel uncomfortable being up close. It's a physical thing or whatever. It's okay with me. Sit where you like. But for the most part, I like everybody to kind of sit in these front two sections or right across here, that first row or two, that second section, so that it doesn't feel like we're spread all over the place. All right? Just keep that in mind. Don't anybody move now, but just keep that in mind if you would. I want to say, first of all, thank you for coming to my class, because I was afraid I was going to have nobody this morning. Honest, I thought I wouldn't have five people today. So I'm very grateful you're here. So I want to make it very worthwhile. We will do an activity every so often, and I'd like to find somebody that'd like to have it at their house, if you would. Lord willing, we'll be having it soon at the new property. We'll be able to have the, I'm getting a couple of, how many of you like coffee or hot chocolate? How many of you like coffee or hot chocolate? Okay. Well, I'm getting some of those machines with a push button that it grinds the coffee right there, and it also gives you an espresso, a latte. I don't even know what those are yet, but it does that. It does 14 different things. You just push the button and it does it, okay? So we're trying to get a couple of those things for our staff, for people, visitors, things like that. So we're going to get one of those in the next month and test it out here. So just letting you know that. We're trying to get it where we are preparing for the new building. So in the new building, we'll be having activities there because we've got a beautiful fellowship hall that has an outdoor area of concrete and picnic tables. So we'll be able to have some fun activities, I think. Okay, Jehoshaphat. If you have your Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Jehoshaphat is one of the good kings. If you read the 1st and 2nd Kings, you'll find, and this one did what was right, and this one did not do what was right. And this one followed in the footsteps of his father, and this one, he worshiped false gods too. Well, you'll notice, if you would, notice in verse number 1, and Jehoshaphat, his son, now Asa was his father, and he was a relatively good king. You'll notice, if you would, he reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. Okay? Now, Jehoshaphat is in charge of Judah. You'll notice, if you would, and he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah. So Judah, this one tribe, is in opposition to Israel, the 10 tribes. And they're battling back and forth. Does anybody know the king that split it all up? Can anybody name me the king that split it all up? Yes, Ken? Rehoboam. Okay, now Rehoboam was a king that had the possibility of everything. Can you tell me some of the things about Rehoboam? Anybody? Can anybody give me Rehoboam? Anybody give me any information about him? He was the son of Solomon. So what other things did he have? Anybody name anything? What other thing did Rehoboam have? He had lots of money. He was inherited perhaps the greatest amount of wealth anybody's ever inherited. Okay? So he's got money running out of his ears. Yes?
He had his father's counselors.
He had his father's counselors. The men that counseled the wisest man to ever live aside from Jesus Christ. Okay? Can name something else about him, this king. He had peace. So understand, it's a little bit later now. And so the kingdom has been split, and there is not peace between Judah and Israel. From the day of Rehoboam, there wasn't peace. And does anybody know what caused the kingdom to split? 12 tribes split off. Can anybody tell me what caused it to split? It was a tax revolt. Rehoboam, some of the people came to Rehoboam. And the leadership, Jeroboam, some of the other people, they came to Rehoboam. They said, look, we want to serve you. We just want to ask if you would ease the tax burden. See, Solomon had charged so much in taxes because his lifestyle had become so lavish. He just needed money. So he was taxing everybody out the ears. And he wasn't supposed to be doing that, but he needed to maintain his lifestyle. So he kept taxing them, just like in the States now. And so it just kept the taxes going up, going up, going up. And finally, when he died, they go to Rehoboam and say, look, if you'll ease the tax load, we'll serve you forever. Now, that is not a hard thing. So he asked the counselors of his father, and they said, look, if you'll ease the tax burden and speak kindly to these people, they will love you forever. And you'll be gracious to them. Well, he's a king. So I can do anything I want to. Nobody can do that and be successful. I'm the wealthiest guy in the area, in the world, really. Nobody can tell me what to do. And I want more money. So he's thinking about it, and Solomon's wise counselor is telling the right thing, and he says, I'm going to ask my buddies. So he gets all of his buddies that are jealous of him. Boy, they'd love to be in his spot. Rich, all the women in the world, respect. So he goes to them and says, what would you guys think? Well, you know, you're the king. So what I would do is I would say, look, you think my daddy taxed you? My little finger is going to be thicker than my dad's thigh in taxes. So the idea is like, I'm charge you anything I want to. I'm the king. And they threw up their hands and said, fooey with you. And they went off. Well, he sends his tax collector over to Israel to collect taxes. Did anybody know what happened? Anybody know what happened? They stoned him. And he gets in his, and so he, the idea is that he's sort of following his tax collector, give him support. Tax collector goes in and says, okay, this is what you owe. He names a new tax, and Rehoboam is right behind him there in his chariot. And they say, we're not paying that. And they take out rocks and stone the guy to death. Well, he sees that. He takes his chariot, jumps in it, and races back home. And he starts putting all of his soldiers together to go put down the tax revolt. And the preacher of the day comes to him and says, don't do that. Don't fight. He says, okay. And he obeys. So the kingdom was split from that day forward. So right now, here's Jehoshaphat. So notice if you would, I want you to notice a few things about Jehoshaphat. Look in verse number, the Lord established his kingdom. Look in verse 5. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. It's a great thing for the Lord to say, I'm going to bless you. I'm behind you. And folks, that's what we all want. We want the Lord behind us. And so whether it's in a business, don't you want the Lord behind you? Or if it's in your job, or if it's your parenting, don't you want the Lord behind us? Sure. He said, I've established your kingdom. Now we're going to look at some of the things that he did to get that support of God. That's the good part about Jehoshaphat. Everybody here needs the support of God. Well, Jehoshaphat got that. If you run a business or if you're a supervisor in business, don't you want the team behind you to be in your your pocket to say, I'll help my boss. I'll do my best to be a blessing to him. I'll work hard. Well, that's what all of us want. That's called being established in your position. Men, don't you want your wife to support you? Then you need the Lord's help to establish your wife's support. It should be there, but the point is that you want it to be from the heart. And so notice, if you would, in verse number 3, I want you to see this. Verse number five, he received great riches. Notice this. And the Lord, verse number five, therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. They loved him. I would imagine that Jehoshaphat probably lowered the taxes. He used the idea of, I'm going to get the people on my side. So he lowers the taxes a little bit. And he speaks kindly to them. Rehoboam spoke roughly to the people. And folks, here's a lesson we can learn. Jeroboam's kind to his people. We have to be very careful not to speak roughly to anybody. Because we want the Lord to give us support. By the way, just on that note of speaking roughly, remember me telling you about at the property, there's the guy that's a project manager that his name is John, and it's been a challenge to deal with him from the very first day. Yeah, if I go out, he'll call me, I'll come out there, and it's almost like he speaks down to me. He speaks like it's my fault. He speaks like no one is over him. He speaks that way to his boss. We get online for our weekly, every bi-weekly meeting. Somebody asks him something. I don't know about that. Well, that's not my fault. I didn't do that. Well, I told you that. He talks that way to everybody. His boss took me out, as I told you, the very beginning of the project and said, Pastor, I don't have anybody else. Could you help me and accept him? I said, yes. So I've been working the whole... How many of you know the Lord puts people in your life to challenge? How many of you know what? Well, this guy was my challenge. So I'd go out there, and I was out there Friday morning. And he said, well, Pastor, you know, what do you want to do on this? What do you want to do on that? And there were a couple things that were issues. And he had mismeasured the holes in the wall. Pipes for the sleeves in the concrete, in the block wall, in the stone wall, 800 feet of it, and they're off about an inch or two. So many of them have to be recored. Now, that's in the ground, we'll never see it. But the fence people came out and said, we can't put that in. Well, why can't you just fix it? Change the panels. So this fence was manufactured in Africa. It took us 5 months to get it. Well, it's in the warehouse. So all the panels are pre-done. I said, we can't do anything. So he's been working on it for like 3 months. He told me they're going to put the fence up in June. Well, it's not up yet. Not even the posts up. Because he's been arguing with them. It's your fault. You should have done this. You should have checked it. Blah, 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 blah. Well, finally they said, we're not coming out. So he tears down the protection fence, the whole 900 feet long. Now that's an OSHA thing. If they come out, where they get fined $20,000, $30,000, $50,000. I talked with him Friday morning about, I guess probably about 7:30. We talked for a little bit, and his boss, Glenn, called me at 10:30. He said, Pastor, are you available Monday? I said, yes, sir. Monday for lunch. I said, sure. He says, I want you to meet your new PM. I said, my new PM? Your new project manager? I said, well, John Mellie. He said, I got fired him. He fired him that morning. Wouldn't know why? Wasn't because anything we did. He wrote a nasty email to an assistant of the architect, a young girl, and wrote a nasty email to her. And his boss says, that's it. I've had enough. What I'm trying to say to you is that nobody is so important that you can't be replaced in the plan of God if we don't have the right attitude. And so, now, God doesn't have a problem finding people to serve him. Now, he has had it in the past. I looked for a man and found none. But we don't want that to be the case today. So you and I want to work at improving our disposition, our attitude, our heart, because none of us are so important or so wealthy that God needs us. And so John Miller, I really felt bad because I was hoping to be able to see him saved, but he is just gone now. He doesn't want any part of anybody. He's just... His wife passed away 3 years ago, and he's just old and crusty and hates the world. I wished we could have reached him, but my point is that Rehoboam said, I can treat people badly because I'm the king. John Miller, I'm the project manager. I'm the king. And I know my boss doesn't have anybody else to get, so I can act like I want. Payday always comes for good and for bad. So notice with me, if you would, another thing. He's got peace. Notice verse 10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war with Jehoshaphat. So he's got the support of his countrymen. He's got peace. Oh, he's done great. Now, let's take just a minute. And, oh, by the way, the Lord answers his prayers too. Look in chapter 18, verse 31. Chapter 18, verse 31. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore, they compassed him about to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. So the Lord is listening to him. He's getting his prayers answered. So what did he do to get all that happen? What did he do to get the blessing of God? Well, take your Bible and notice this. Number one, look in 2 Chronicles 17 and verse number 3. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Why? Because he walked in the first ways of his father's David. Now, what were the first ways of David? Can anybody tell me? What were the first ways of David? Well, he was a pure young man. He worshiped the Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David loved the Lord. Those were his first ways. But he became king, and the same thing happened to him at a moment of time. He saw Bathsheba while she was bathing off at a distance, and he could have left it there, but he didn't. He takes her and rapes her, basically, and then she's pregnant. So then he finds that out, and he kills her husband, has her husband killed, and God punishes him. And he gets his heart right. The first ways of David. So notice, if you would, not only that, but notice this. He rejected other gods. Look, if you would, in chapter 17, verse 3. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat, one, because he walked in the first ways of David, his father David, and sought not to Balaam. In other words, he put the Lord first in his life. He was in love with the Lord. Lord, I want to please you. Notice verse number 4, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. So he didn't follow the country of Israel. He followed the Lord, and he done the research on his great, great, great grandfather. And he said, I want to be like him. And so that's what I want us to do today, is I want us to learn things from people of bygone days that we can say, I want to be like that. He sought the Lord and put all the other gods out. Now, I don't think there's anybody in this room that's going to worship the Hindu god. I don't believe anybody's got gods here. Although we have people in our church that have called me and said, I received a god in the mail as a birthday present. What should I do? So there are people that struggle with that from different countries. But it's not here for the most part. So you and I, we seek the Lord. We seek the first ways of those that have done right. Now, notice with me if you would, not only that, but he obeyed the commandments of the Lord. Look in verse 4. But sought to the Lord God of his fathers and walked in his commandments. Now, let's take just a minute. Somebody name some simple commands for Christians to do. Anybody. Just a command. Who'll be first? Real quick. A command. Well, I got to get y'all to liven up a little bit. Come on now. Somebody. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. So we all need to love the Lord. The Lord needs to be our first love. Well, I want to love you more than all. What's something else? A command of the Lord. Pardon me? Honor thy father and mother. Okay. Doesn't matter if they're 100 years old or not. Honor thy father and mother. Another one. Another one. Let's see it. What's that?
Love your neighbor.
Love your neighbor. Okay, love your enemies. Those are commands for Christians. So we're not to be those arbitrary people. Somebody does something to us, we stare them down. Can't believe you did that. That's not for us. We're to obey the commands of the Lord. Thou shalt not lie. Well, real simple. The book is full of them. Now, I want to challenge you. So one of these days, maybe in a few months, I'll be able to say, okay, name me some commands that Christians are supposed to do or not supposed to do. And there's a bunch of hands up. I know. Rather than the whole book here full of them. And we got three of them so far. All right? Anyway, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, but they make us better. They make us into the image of Christ. Now, notice if you would. So he's trying to obey the commands of the Lord, but notice this. He wanted his people to follow the Lord. He cared about those around him. Sort of to Brother Terry's statement, his neighbors. Look with me, if you would, in verse number six. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves of Judah. So you understand, he wanted people, look in verse 7, and also in the third year of his reign, it took a little while, he sent to his princes, and he gives a list of four princes or five princes here to teach in the cities of Judah. In verse number 8, and he sent with him Levites. Those are the preachers. And notice if you would, with them in verse 8, Elishama and Jehoram priests. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. That's the goal, is that you would be able to teach your grandchildren and your neighbors and people like that without offending them. Just that's the way you live, so they see you living right. And one way to teach is by example. And that's what I'm trying to encourage everybody to do and to learn from these examples. So he takes the preachers and the priests and even his princes, his mayors, his congressmen that are elected. They weren't elected, they were appointed. But he gets them and says, I want you to go throughout all the country and teach people the commandments of the Lord. That's what I want you to do. So do you understand he cared about his people? That's always been a thing of the Lord. Care about those that are around you. And that's something we need to learn, okay? Because it brings the blessing of God. So notice this. Not only that, look at 19 and verse 3. I think you'll like this one. This is a challenge to me. Verse number 3. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee. This is the Lord speaking to his prophet. In that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Now, this brings me up to his flaw. Did you notice the first word of that verse? Nevertheless. What does that sort of mean? Well, you've done a lot of good things, but... Well, he prepared his heart to serve the Lord. What do you do that with? Well, that's your devotional time. That you take a little time, you read the scripture, and you try to take what you see in scripture and apply it to your heart so that you prepare your heart for the Lord to take control. You try to confess your sin. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for this sin, for that sin. Forgive me when I didn't treat my husband right yesterday and my wife right yesterday. Lord, please forgive me. And maybe the Holy Spirit brought it up. Forgive me, I didn't treat my neighbor right yesterday. And we make those things right that morning. And then we read a little bit of scripture. And the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. And we're preparing our heart to seek the Lord. He did that. And the Lord said, well, that's a good thing about you. And notice, let's read it again. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee. Now, we're going to pause for a minute. You can see all the good things about him. But I want you to notice, now let's go back and read the verse previous and find the one thing. Now, how many of you would be happy if you just had one thing in your life that you had to work on? I would be. But there was one thing that was obvious. Now, there are a besetting sin. A besetting sin is something you're prone to do. It's something you're inclined to do. And maybe you've said, I don't want to do that anymore. Maybe it's bitterness, and somebody, your brother, has done something that's wrong, and I want to get rid of that. And so you're prone to bitterness. Maybe that's in your family tree. Remember, if Don has something in his life and he doesn't make it right, the Lord says, I can visit the third and fourth generation. So if Brother Ken here has a violent temper, which he does not, if he's got a violent temper, he can get passed down to his family, his children, sons and grandsons and great-grandsons. And so I don't want any of those sins to be passed down. So I'm trying to take that rock of that diamond I told you about at the very beginning of the class, that's just a piece of rock out of the ground, and say, Lord, help me. And the Lord chops off this, and chops off that, and then starts polishing it. And so I don't want, how much would you pay for a beautiful diamond that has got one corner and it's not polished nor trimmed? How would you like to give that to your wife? Say, honey, well, it's a good diamond most of the way. I like that. That would not be a very sweet thing to do. So the goal is to try to make it as good as we can. Now, the stone itself has to have a certain quality. And so you and I, the good thing about it is that we can improve the quality of our stone with our preparation of our heart. God doesn't give anybody in this room a stone and says, take it or leave it. Every one of you and I, we can all improve. We're not like a diamond. We're not like that at all. You can be what you would like to be if you prepare your heart. And if you look at the things in your life that are besetting sins, that are things you're prone to, I'm going to get rid of that. You can get rid of all of them. But he had this one sin, and it's very unique sin. Notice this, if you would, chapter 19, verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, so he's a preacher, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore his wrath come upon thee from before the Lord. So now, turn your Bibles back to that same chapter, chapter 18, the chapter before that, chapter 18, and notice verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. So the Lord has blessed him, and it says, and joined affinity with Ahab. Now, somebody tell me about Ahab, just real quickly. We got about 2 minutes. Give me something about Ahab. Good, bad, and different. Joe, what did you say? He's a bad king. Does anybody know one thing about him? He's married to somebody. Jezebel. Do we have any children in our church named Jezebel? I wonder why not. Because that's like, whoa, let me keep away from her. Okay? Well, he marries her. And she's a murderer. She gets Naboth's vineyard for her husband and has him killed. And God sees it, but Ahab has a wicked wife. He's got a wicked heart. He worships Baal and all kinds of other gods. He is an ungodly man. Well, he calls up, getting ready to go to war, he calls up, not calls up, but he talks to this king, Jehoshaphat, and says, hey, would you like to come help me fight this battle? I think it's sort of like an olive leaf. And Jehoshaphat, well, man, I'd like to have peace between me and Israel. So he says, sure, my people are like your people. And the Lord goes, oh my, what is he thinking? Now, listen very carefully. His sin was making friends with ungodly people. Now, you and I can't do that either. The Bible says the Lord was angry with him. Wrath was upon him for that. I want you to notice, if you would, then the Bible says in verse number 2 of 19:2, again, we read it before, he says, shouldest thou help the ungodly? Now, notice very carefully, folks. When he says help the ungodly, It's not like if your neighbor breaks a leg and comes over and says, would you mind help me mow my yard? It doesn't mean you don't do that. We are good to people. It means that you don't share your heart with them. You don't make plans together. Hey, let's go fishing together. Hey, let's go do this and that together. Now, it doesn't mean you can't take them to dinner and try to bring them to church. But there's a line that you have to draw in your heart with the ungodly that they never step over. And that is when you open up your heart and you begin to think and plan with them. You begin to design things with them. Hey, let's go on a trip together. Hey, you don't let the ungodly get to you like that. That's what God said about Jehoshaphat. He said, nevertheless, there are good things found in you. And folks, today, this is just one of those principles that we can learn. Now, I want you to see one last thing. He made affinity with him. He gave him his heart. Look if you would, in chapter 21 and verse number 6. Jehoram was 32 years old, began to reign. He reigns 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Every one of us should know somebody and know people, maybe at work, that they wrought evil. They do evil. They talk bad about their mate. They want to go party. They don't do things that are pleasing to the Lord. You and I have to be very careful to put a guard up for that. Doesn't mean we're mean to them. We don't give them bad looks. It means we're sweet to them and kind to them, but we are not available to be their friends. We can be available to invite them to church, to be good to them, but we have to put that line up in our heart. If we don't, now I know what you'll see, the fruit of what happened, the Lord speaks to him right here and says, look, I don't want you to be friends with the ungodly. Well, I want you to notice this. Look, if you would, in your Bibles. I want you to see, turning your Bible, if you would, over to chapter 20 and verse number 35. Now keep in mind, the Lord's already told him, I don't want you joining up with the ungodly. Now he can tell us that, but notice if you would in verse number 35. And after this, did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion Geber. Well, notice what happens. Verse 37. Then Eleazar, the son of Dodavah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself to Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. And the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. Now, remember, Tarshish was where Jonah tried to go. It's the farthest place on earth. So that was a place that were going to bring in wealth, and he joined himself for a business purpose. And the Lord says, I cannot believe you've done that again. First, it was war. You went to make peace, and now it is you're trying to make money. And he says, look, I'm going to break up your ships. So let's learn the lesson. Let's not have a diamond that looks perfect except one part. We don't want to fix that part because that benefits us. We don't want to have any besetting sins. I want to challenge you to say, Lord, I want to have a perfect heart before you, not like Jehoshaphat. There are good things found in thee, but don't join yourself to the wicked. So make the right friends. That would be my urging to all of us today. Let's make the right friends. And we can learn the lesson from Jehoshaphat, and the Lord can bless us. Let's bow forward to prayer and be dismissed this morning. Father, would you help us to learn the lesson of Jehoshaphat, how that he did so many things well. But Father, just had a besetting sin that he just either couldn't see or he didn't want to change it because of what he got from it. And Lord, he made the wrong friends. Help us to make the right friends, people that want to do what's right, people that love you. Lord, bless today. Bless the service to follow. In your name we pray. Amen.